Continuing what we were looking at in Ephesians, we're looking at the evangelistic ministry. Remember last time we looked in the book of Acts, and as I was preparing, the Lord put something on my heart. Now, the Holy Spirit, praise God, He is the teacher, He is the one who gives the word, anoints, gives that revelation. You can't, okay, yes, there is a doctrinal element, but you can't stay, you know, rigidly to what you think the Lord wants to say. So, in waiting on the Lord, let me present to you, as God presented to me, what God has put on my heart, praise God, concerning the, we're still looking at the evangelistic ministry. What are the elements? What are we to look at in our witness, in our experience, in our walk, in our ministry to others? There are some who will be evangelists, but the church is to witness. What is our witness? What is, how are we to minister to those who are sick? How do we minister to the sick, to the lost, to those in need? What is our attitude? And I want to say, before we look at some of the scriptures that God showed me, that God put on my heart, rather, the answer to our prayer, the answer to our needs, all of that God is working with us, will never come as we're looking inward.
No.
The answer will never lie from what's within. It will always come as we're looking to the Lord and as we're available to minister to others.
Yeah.
But these things are just words until or unless we have experienced that healing touch from Jesus Himself. Our problem is we're still trying to walk this walk in our own strength. We have not opened the door and let Jesus in. We think we have because we're born again and we speak in tongues because we're filled with the Spirit. And there's a one-off sanctification. We are sanctified. We are saved. We are born again. Praise God. Yes, we are. But we like that bit, and we like the vision of the Elijah ministry and the double portion of the Elisha ministry, the end time anointing and the greater works. We like that and praise God. But what about today? And what we have to realize, this work of perfection, we are saved, we are born again, we are sanctified, but we are being perfected. There is a sense in which our salvation is also a process in our experience. And we're not so sure about that one.
Hmm.
And our trials, what God is doing, and we will go into detail in this later on, but what God is doing, and this is where fear, this is where pride, puts up those barriers. God, and we've heard it before, so bear with me, God is bringing us to an end of ourself. Until we have nothing left, until we are just standing here with the shirt on our back and faith, we will not be used in this end time. For God's love to be seen in our life, it has to be all of faith. It cannot be our own resources. We're going to minister to the people, dear friends. We're going to minister that healing, that deliverance, that provision. Because why have we got that witness? Why have we got that testimony? Because Jesus has healed me. He's prospered me. He's blessed me. He's delivered me.
Amen.
That's how I know.
Yes.
And he's not going to do that until something glorious has happened. And that is that every day is a living encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. in which I let him in to that area that needs healing.
Yes.
Praise God. Yes. I cannot do this in my own strength. God requires of me to unconditionally forgive those who hurt me. I cannot do that in my own strength. But when I cry out to him, but Lord, you are going to have to heal that area in my heart, because I don't want to let go of it. I feel self-pity, I feel rage, I feel anger, because I've been hurt by that person, and they keep doing it, and I can't have a relationship with that person, because every time I meet them, up comes that spirit that seems just designed to destroy me. I can't forgive in my own strength. Lord, I'm at an end of myself. I'm desperate. I have nothing in myself that can forgive. Praise the Lord, says pray at last. And as I open up and let him into that area, from that point on, that spirit, that person, no longer comes against me. They're coming against the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our problem. All the time, we're on the throne of our silly little kingdoms. The Lord Jesus Christ is still crucified to us. But when we take up our cross, when we're on the cross, he's on the throne, when he is Lord, because we have let him in. Yes, we are Christians, he already indwells us. But in that area, as we open up, we've come to the end of ourselves. Lord, come into that area, come into that part of my heart. Come into that. Lord, I'm letting you in. Take over. From that point on, we meet that trial, no longer I that live but Christ. And they're not coming against you or I. Who are we? We're nothing. We're nobody. Nobody knows whether or cares whether we live or die. But Jesus has taken over. They come against him. He's the one who then sorts him. You see how this works? He does a work in and then through us. And he is our healing. He is our deliverance. I'm not healed because I've read a book on healing and I've memorized Isaiah 53. That's not why I'm healed. I'm healed because Jesus has taken over. He's come into my heart. He's come into my life. And he is my healer. I've had an encounter with my healer. I am the Lord who heals you, he says. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. He heals. Our greatest need is not finances. It's not healing. It's not deliverance. You say, but I'm about to be evicted. Surely I need... No! Your greatest need is to let Jesus... is a touch from the Lord Jesus Christ. Your greatest need is to let him into your heart. To deal with that fear, that anxiety, that covetousness, that unforgiveness. Somebody comes along and says, you're supposed to be holy, you're a Christian, and God is so holy you can't look upon sin, and God hates sin. What do you do with that? Let's look to the God of love. God is holy. When Isaiah had that tremendous experience, what did the God is so holy that even the seraphim couldn't look at him. He had one pair of wings covering his eye. What did Isaiah do? woe is me, woe is me. Remember, and the seraphim cried, holy, holy, holy. Didn't say love, love, love. He said, holy, holy, holy. But look at this God of love. His love will not betray him to compromise his holiness. But look at what Jesus did. He took on a body of flesh to die on the cross. His love for us is so great. The value he places on our life is that he gave his life in exchange for us. This holy God who cannot look upon sin took upon him a body of flesh to deal with that sin, to die in our place so that that sin can be removed.
Hallelujah.
Actions speak louder than words. What did God's love do to satisfy the demands of his holiness?
Yes.
That's what we've got to focus on, because he sent him to bless us in turning us away from our iniquities.
Hallelujah.
It's his blood that prevails, dear friends.
Yes.
And as we turn to him, our faith in his love, Father, I can't do this in my own strength. It's when we come to an end of ourselves that God takes over. Our faith doesn't work until we have nothing in us that can overcome.
Yeah.
It's when we let Jesus conquer us, we begin to rule and reign.
Mm.
That sin will go, that spirit will flee in terror when, like Joshua, strode up to, he saw, didn't he was about to conquer Jericho, and he saw what he said, the scriptures present, he saw a man with a sword drawn in his hand. Oh, General Joshua, no fear. Goes bounding up to, marching up to him, whose side are you on? You know? Basically, what all was saying was, let me introduce myself. I've come as, not on anybody's side, I am the side. I've come to take over. Fell flat on his face, didn't he,
yes,
Joshua?
Yes.
That's how we overcome. That's how we deal with our giants and the Jerichos. Not by looking inward, but by letting Jesus in to that area, by letting him conquer us. And from the time we get up from that experience, up off our knees and our faces, we then rule and reign with Christ in that area because he has taken over. We're trying too hard. We're still holding on to the affection of that thing because it ministers to the flesh.
Mm.
But if we will let the Holy Spirit crucify that area, that aspect, Lord, I can't forgive. Why can't you forgive? Because it justifies, this feeling justifies my self-pity. Why can't you give up that sin? Because it ministers to the flesh. It's been a comfort all my life. I wouldn't know what to do without it. But Lord, you don't sin. You don't smoke. You don't drink. You're not, you know, you don't commit those sins. When I let you in that area, Father, that's when my deliverance will come. We're trying too hard in our own strength to deal with that sin. And we have to allow God to bring us to an end of ourself. Let him in. Let him into that area. Ask him into your heart, like you did at your salvation, like you did at your conversion experience. When we ask him in to that aspect of our life, to take over completely, make a quality decision that from now on it's you, he will come in and you will no longer want that thing. You can't use, now don't go away now thinking that will be the words that I use now, because it's not going to work, because it's only words. God is going to bring us, you and I, to an end of ourselves, to where we cry out to him in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And he will then come in, and we will experience his love, his grace, his forgiveness. We will never overcome sin by trying to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
We will never overcome sin by condemnation. We will never overcome our sin by not accepting it for what it is.
Mm.
By resisting, by trying to sweep it under the carpet, by calling it something else, by excusing it, by giving it a name.
Mm.
when we face up to it and acknowledge it for what it is and say, Lord, I love this too much. This is strong in my life. There's an affection here, a dependence. Father, work in only the way you can. Because I'll tell you something about this overcoming faith that we've received over the years. Now, please, praise God, those of the faith camp who know what faith is. If faith is anything, it is total dependence on God. It is not a force that you can feel. It is a fruit of the Spirit, and it will only operate when there's nothing in me that has any strength left. It will only operate when I'm desperate. And desperate means coming to an end. Here there is a multitude in front of me that need feeding. I have nothing to feed them with. Those 5 loaves, 2 fishes, as I lift it up to God, He will then provide supernaturally through me. But I've got to experience a healing, a deliverance for that. How do I know He feeds? How do I know He provides? Because in my trials, I've come to an end of my resources, and I stand or fall, I sink or swim by my faith in God's promises.
Yeah.
How do I know? There's somebody standing in front of me who is in desperate need of healing or deliverance. I've got nothing, but I've got faith. Why? Because over the years, God has brought me to an end of myself, and only He has touched and healed and delivered. He set me free in those areas because there's nothing in me that can deliver myself. I cannot undo the effects of sin. I cannot fight the devil in my own strength. But as I submit to God, as I submit to Him, as I yield to the work of the cross in the Holy Spirit, and that fear and that pride, I humble myself before God and acknowledge my need, my greatest need before Him. He comes in to that area of my heart, heals, delivers, sets me free. So when I meet that need, no longer I that live, but Christ, and He heals that person.
Amen.
In and through my faith, the faith that He has put in my heart.
Amen.
There's nothing in me.
Hallelujah.
It's Jesus in, then through me.
Praise God.
It's only a trial, friends. It's only a trial.
Mm-hmm.
Let God bring us to the end of ourselves so that He then ministers in us and through us.
Yes.
We have that living testimony. We are those epistles written on men's hearts with that salt and that light because He has taken over.
That's right.
We're trying too hard to hold on to these things to justify ourselves. And God is wanting to break that hard heart, to enlarge our hearts, to dwell in that abode. Let's look at John 14:21 in this. We'll look at these scriptures, dear friends, as God presented them. Because we can look at this word and get condemned trying to obey it in our own strength. Or we can get let the Holy Spirit go right to the root. Right to the root. I can't strive for unity. I cannot work at the unity and the oneness in this assembly. I can't try and heal the divisions. Because I've got to deal with what it is in me that disagrees. I've got to deal, somehow I've got to let God deal with that pride, that unbelief, that fear, that resentment. And I have, praise God. This is what the message is. Because I realise I can't do it in my own strength. And yes, it's my problem. Change starts with me. I can't blame my brother. Not my sister's fault. It begins with me. But I can't do it in my own strength. What is the key? God's love. But Lord, yes, I know. Look at the state of your heart. Let me in. The Holy Spirit's been saying to me for years, let me in. Unless I do, Jesus takes over. Christ can't be divided against Christ.
No.
And there's no longer this fear of what will he or she say to me? What will he or she do to me? Nothing. I'm already crucified. If they do say or do something, they're doing it against the Lord. And whose problem is that? Praise God. I begin to intercede for them then. God have mercy.
Yes.
Instead of, oh Lord, they've hurt me again. Do you see the difference?
Yes.
Oh, praise God. Let the Lord come in. Let the Lord take over. Look what he says in John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him.
Yes.
Praise God. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us, not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. We are his home. He'll come in us, come to us to dwell within us.
Amen.
So is there an area that you can't love the Lord? Is there an area of disobedience? Is there an area of sin? Is there a breach in that relationship? Yes, there is. Sin is a breach. So how do we repair the breach? We let him in. We go, our life is the home. The first place that often, sadly, we have to look at is the bedroom. Is the bedroom, does the bedroom belong to Jesus? Or are there some secret sins? Just because you're married, you think you can get away with stuff, being Christians. No, you give that over to him, and your conscience, him and your conscience will tell you what is acceptable. The Delilahs and the Jezebels of this world have manipulated their husbands from their bedroom gymnastics since the year dot.
Yeah.
And God, this is the body of Christ. This is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That has got to go.
Yeah.
Oh, friends, the flesh, doesn't it please the flesh? The only problem with that is that Satan uses that as a breach to destroy the body of Christ and to destroy relationships
yes.
within the body.
Yeah.
Might be a lot of fun to the flesh, but you'll end up in hell. You'll destroy the body of Christ, or you'll have to go through great tribulation. Depends on, you know, don't let me consign you to that. You'll go through trials. You'll go through your fires. But I hope you give it up because of the trials, you know. I hope you don't have to go through tribulation. Oh, but I'm a Christian. Nobody who has partaken of the Father's love can ever end up in hell.
Amen.
But if you've partaken of the Father's love, you're going to give up that sin.
Yeah.
But don't look to the, oh, you know, the pain and what it's going to cost, the power of sin. Look to the cross, look to the risen Saviour. Let him in, because I cannot give up that sin in my own strength. But because I'm his home, Lord, I've given you my bedroom. What about the loft? The loft, some people have got a thick thatch on the loft, some not so much. The loft where we do our thinking. Praise God. Have we given that over to him? Every thought that we think, is it worthy of the mind of Christ? Do we have the mind of Christ, or do we still think carnally? Let me in, says the Lord, and I will take hold of your attitudes, your motives, your thoughts, your thinking, your thought processes, and I will inspire. He's the Prince of Peace. Let him get hold of the house that he lives in.
Thank you, Father.
Or the living room. Have we given over the living room? What do we do in a living room? Sit and relax. And as we look round the living room, we see an altar, don't we? We see an altar consecrated to the God of entertainment, the home cinema. How much time are we spending bowing down to that idol, looking at the filth that it spews out?
Yeah.
Or is that a prayer room? Is that a prayer closet? Is that a family prayer closet where the word of God and the presence of God is welcomed and shared with the family? Who does the house belong to? In a literal and a spiritual sense. Well, friends, God is cleaning up, but we can't do it in our own strength. And we are coming to an end of ourselves. Our faith begins at the end of self.
Amen.
Where God takes over, and having wrought in, he will then work through us. And then we will see that evangelism. We will then see that evangelism. We will then see that obedience in our lives. Because we're not trying to obey him in our own strength because I have to, because I don't want to go to hell, and because I want to be. That's not obedience. That's a struggle. That's a desperate, legalistic, religious, uphill, impossible struggle. You'll never do it. We will never consistently walk in the Spirit, obey God, unless the affections are there. Enlarge my heart.
Amen.
That I may run, I will run the course of your commandment when you shall enlarge my heart. How big will God enlarge our heart? For him to dwell in.
Hallelujah.
Big enough for him to live in.
Thank you, Lord.
And dwell in.
Hallelujah.
Are we getting the message, friends? Is it clear enough? Let's stop trying to live the Christian life and let Jesus live his life in and through us.
Hallelujah.
Big difference.
Amen.
Big difference. Praise God. Let's look at Luke. Oh, glory to God. This is deliverance, friends.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Luke 18, let's start with. Oh, I'm not trying to get emotional. Luke chapter 18. Praise God. We'll start with verse 9. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. Also he spoke this... Now listen to who he spoke this parable to. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And now, I'll read it and then we'll again break it down and go deeper. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector, the most despised of sinners.
Yeah.
Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Who's he praying? Praying to God? No, to himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. Look at me. How wonderful I am, you say. Look at me. Look at my works. This is the worst abomination. This is the worst blasphemy to throw up your works before Almighty God as a means of justifying yourself. Mm. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to this house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. God has said, I don't want to say thus says the Lord, but there's an anointing here. You will be humbled.
Yeah.
You will be humbled.
Thank you.
And those who have lit the dust at my feet will be exalted.
Hallelujah. You
who try to justify yourself and look down on your brother and sister, you will be brought low.
Yeah. Yes.
And they will be exalted, and you'll serve them. And we should serve one another anyway.
Yes.
Look at what this arrogant Pharisee stood there doing.
Yeah.
Proclaiming his works before Almighty God. When the only work that will save us is our faith in the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's all God will receive.
Yeah.
That's all he will accept. And Jesus has done that. And this broken man, who knew he was a sinner, couldn't even look up at God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. All Jesus is ever saying, and the Laodicean church is this Pharisee.
Yes.
I have need of nothing. I'm increased with goods and riches. Peter only can raise, or the Lord through Peter, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee.
Yes.
But the Laodiceans, look at us with our wealth.
Yeah.
Look at us with what God has blessed us with, our own resources. And there's Jesus, they're calling themselves Christians, but there's Jesus knocking on the door, trying to get in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something's very, very wrong. Mm. But the good news is, God is love.
Yes.
And he's knocking on that door. And he has sent his Son, who shed his blood in our place. Our sins are forgiven. And now he's knocking on the door of our hearts. My people, let me in.
Yes.
You've heard the message of faith, and you think you have it because look at the theology, look at the message, look at the vision, look at the faith. But you've left me outside. You've got your doctrine, but you've left me at the door.
Yes.
Open up, let me in, and your doctrine will make sense.
Hallelujah.
Open me, open up, let me in, and I will heal. I will deliver. I will open doors in your life for ministry. I will provide. My beloved, I wish above all things that you will prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So many charismatics, give me that healing, give me that money. Prosper, provide, heal. But they're not prospering spiritually because they're not letting Jesus into their lives. There's the prosperity of the soul. Then the health, then the prosperity.
Yeah.
He is my provision. He is my wealth. He is my true riches.
Thank you, Lord.
He's my healing and health. He's my deliverer.
Praise you, Lord.
But unless I let him into my heart, these things are just words. Jesus is Lord and Saviour.
Yes.
He's my Saviour because he's my Lord. Those areas in my life that are impossible, they're only impossible because in my puny strength, I've made a pretend attempt to overcome, to placate the holy God. So I don't want to be punished, but I know in my heart, I'm idolater. I'm an idolater. I've committed idolatry. And until I can see my real need, and it's God in his grace that's brought me to an end of myself, so that I could see it for what it is, and I repent in sackcloth and ashes. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my life in that area, Lord Jesus, come in. Take over.
Mm.
Take over, because it's destroying me.
Mm.
Not that that matters, but it is. I have nothing but your mercy. And I believe it matters to you, because the value you place on my soul is that you sent Jesus to the cross to redeem me. I know it matters to you. Come in and take over. And he has. And just the will, the thought, it's just gone, it goes, it's finished. Because Jesus has taken over.
Thank you.
Devil can do what he wants, can't he, with me, because who am I? But when it comes to Jesus, he thinks twice. God will say, look at him now, and now have a go at him. And the devil's like, no, Jesus has taken over. I don't want to touch him. Don't want to go anywhere near. Because Jesus lives there now. Praise God!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah! That's our victory, that's our authority, that's our rulership in this life.
Jesus.
Glory to God! Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 7. Oh, Luke chapter 7. The evangelist ministry. The repairer of the breach. The binding up of the brokenhearted. The opening of the prison doors. The blind eyes. This is wonderful. This is a great good news. That the only thing God will accept from you and I is our faith in the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
We haven't got to work for this. The less we work, the better. What is the work that I should work? What is the work of God? That you should believe on him whom he has sent.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let him in. I'll open up and let him in.
Yes.
Praise God. Again, the old Pharisee. What is it with the Pharisees? What is it with us and that religious spirit? Luke 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. He went to the Pharisee's house, sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And let me just say in passing, you know, we looked last time at send forth labourers into the vineyard. If we're doing that, you know, everything that God has given us is available to that person. We don't always ask because, well, send the pastor, send the teacher, but we're not saying send me because we know that that's going to cost us, like the Good Samaritan. We'll have to give of ourselves. We'll have to invite them to our home, won't we? You know, and we're not talking about royalty. We're talking about people from the gutter that smell, that have got the stench of sin on them. Maybe literally. It's going to cost. So we've got to have that wisdom. We've got to know. But we've got to be open, we've got to be available. We are the provision.
Yes.
We're the first contact. We're the point of contact from heaven to earth. Until the word is in their heart, then they go directly. But we're Jesus to them until he dwells in their heart through their faith in the word.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big one, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's why we're not so keen.
Yeah.
We want the miracles, but we don't want to get our hands dirty.
No.
And so, this sinful woman, knew that Jesus just sat at the table, Pharisee's house, and bought that alabaster box of oil, fragrant, very costly, stood at his feet behind him, weeping. Not in front, here I am, Lord, here I am. But you couldn't wait to meet me, could you? That's what a Pharisee. But not this poor woman. Behind him, at his feet, weeping.
Yes.
Began to wash his feet with her tears. Wipe them with the hair of her head. That's all she knew. That's a prostitute. That's what prostitutes do. Not with the tears, with a bowl of water, but the wiping of the hair. That's what they did in the Middle East. Kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, completely got it wrong.
Yeah.
Completely misinterpreted that old religious intellect. Spoke to himself. Again, these people speak to themselves, don't they? Inward looking. This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a sinner. Look at holy, holy, holy. Who's the holy one? Jesus. And look at this Pharisee. But look, Jesus in another place touched the leper. Letting this sinful woman touch him. Because that's all she knew. But he was seeing deeper than the outward.
Yes.
And this is the balance, friends. Our salvation will never come from looking inward, but nothing God does is outward. But let the Holy Spirit do the change within, while we experience, praise God by his grace, that outward manifestation, that provision. that's how we know it's faith. Because it doesn't come from us, it comes to us.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And so Jesus, the prophet, I love this bit, he answered and said to him, Simon, I've got something to say to you. Praise God. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they had nothing with which to repay, that's you and me, friends, we have nothing with which to... He freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which one of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more, not realizing that he was talking about the two people in the room. Him and, and this sinful woman that he was despising.
Yes.
He said to him, you have rightly judged. Whereas before he had completely wrongly judged. So he just the Lord had just got him to expose the real problem. And he's saying, right, now you've rightly judged. But previously he'd got it completely wrong.
Yes.
He turned to the woman and said to Simon, so he's turning to the object now of his affection, do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears, wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, you didn't embrace me, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil. You didn't give me the basic things of hospitality. But this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little.
Yes.
Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, friends, until we get a revelation of how great our sin is, our love will be little because we think we've been forgiven little. But when we know that it was our sin that had sent Jesus there to the cross, it was his love that held him there, but our sin that sent him there, and God's love that sent him there. From our side it was our sin, from God's side it was his love. We need a revelation of just what our sin is before a holy God, and we will love him much because we are forgiven much.
Amen.
And because we love much and have been forgiven much, we also forgive much.
Amen.
Remember what he said in Matthew 18 about the unjust servant.
Yes.
Who refused to forgive in spite of what he'd been forgiven.
Yes.
Now this is awesome, but it's also glorious. The Father's will is always redemptive.
Yes.
And even if our weakness is an unwillingness to forgive, we're in hot water, but acknowledge it. Because there's a reason, there's an underlying reason. With every trial you and I go through, with every sin that still seems to linger, there's a deeper work that God is working, that deliverance. It's still there so that God gets to the root.
Yes.
And as we let him in, because we can't do that in our own strength, God gets to the root. Whatever it would be. We talk about fear, we talk about pride and self-pity and unbelief and rebellion and all those words. But let the Holy Spirit show you what the root is that he's dealing with in your life, why that sin is still there. What is the root you're dealing with? Whatever it would be in your life. Of course, it's usually pride, isn't it? It's usually something self, something that ministers to self, something that feeds self-love, a religious spirit, an unforgiving spirit. Some kind of, the biggest idol in our life is self-love. But that could be fear holding that. Why are we angry? Why are we unforgiving? why do we turn to lust or the bottle or what is the sin? Why do we turn to that? Why does that particular idol, behind every idol is a demon, why does that spirit, that demon, minister so much to flesh? What is the hold? Lord, you hate that. Show me what it is. Come into my life. I can't do this in my own strength. The only way I'm going to overcome by letting you in. But we can only truly cry out to God from the heart when that sin, now listen friends, God knows what he's doing. He's love and he's in control. But he will let that thing all but destroy us. All but destroy you. Until you see that that thing is not your friend. As much, see, faithful are the wounds of a friend, deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. And you've been seduced by the enemy's kisses. And until we have come to the place where a light thread is holding a heavy weight over the pit of hell, until we see that that sin is all but destroying us, we will not see it for what it is. And we will not cry out to God in desperation, Lord, come in and take over and deal with this thing. It doesn't come from the heart. It comes from the head or the theology. God will bring us to that end of our wits end, our end of ourself, to realise what this is.
Yes.
Make us desperate. But at the end of it, the wounds of our friend, the best Samaritan, the good Samaritan, but the best one, whom the Jews rejected like the Samaritan. When we realise who the friend is, even though it's cost us the cross, and that we've been seduced by the kisses of the enemy because it appealed to the flesh, when we see that and our utter inability to do anything about it, but we really want that deliverance because it's destroyed our life and it sent Jesus to the cross. When we see that, we cry out, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And he comes in. He takes over and we get our deliverance.
Hallelujah.
And that thing is no longer a problem.
Mighty God.
Praise God, he will deal with it. But we've got to come to that place, that end of ourself place, that hatred of that thing. The children of Israel groaned because of the oppression of the Egyptians. They were comfortable, they were really prospering in Egypt. No way they're going to walk out. No way, no Exodus, because they wanted to stay there. So God had to allow something to make them hate it.
Yeah.
Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Until we hate that thing, we're not going to let God rip it out of us. Because we're holding on to it. You see, those breaches have to be repaired. Sin is a breach. That's why we're struggling at times with unity in the assembly. Our sin is destructive. Don't say, oh, it's brother so-and-so, it's brother Bob's fault. Probably is, but you let me say that. But any change is going to come from you. But you must say that. I can't preach that at you. You will not repent because I'm preaching. No, you won't. Deliverance is in the Word. But you've got to see that. The Holy Spirit has got to show you from his love, from his relationship, your relationship to him, deliverance is in the Word when we obey it. Not because we hear it, but because we obey it. And we're only going to obey, we're only going to put that healing, delivering, saving Word into practice by a living act of faith. And that is a relationship with the living God. It's an encounter with the risen Christ.
Yeah.
You want me to say, but when we meet the conditions, and we are to meet the conditions, God has put those conditions in his sovereignty. He won't let us put the conditions. He'll put his conditions. But when do we meet the conditions? When it's no longer I, but Christ. That's when the conditions are met. That's the condition. Let me come in and take over. Do you know when we'll get our deliverance? Not when pray for me, and 40 years later here we still are praying one for another. We're going to get deliverance, because this is the evangelistic teaching coming out now, right? We're going to get our deliverance when we go out there, we ask the Lord today, lead me to somebody who has got a desperate need. Lead me to the next person you want saved. Show me a need.
Yes.
And you'll go to someone, you'll meet someone when you're shopping, when you're at work, when on your way to the meeting. God will arrange that meeting.
Yes.
And you will see somebody that's worse off than you. Mm. And in ministering to them, you will get your deliverance. You won't get it looking inward. What's wrong with me? All the time you're looking inward, you will never find anything right. Look to Jesus, you'll only see perfection.
Amen.
You'll only see the image that God is conforming you to.
Yes.
There's your deliverance. It's those that looked at the cross, those that looked, you know, the Israelites were bitten by the fiery serpents, and they that looked lived.
Yes.
And Jesus in John 3 said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. And he who believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So to look is to believe. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the crucified, risen Saviour, is our healing, is our deliverance, as we constantly look to him.
Amen.
The answer will never lie within us. Only the problems lie within. But when we look to him, there are no problems. He's the answer. Let him in. And we have an encounter with the risen Christ.
Yes.
And then the world will see the love, the compassion, the power of a risen Saviour, healer. Yes, he's Lord. Tread on our necks, if you will. But that's a saving touch from the healer, from the Saviour. And the world will then see the compassion, the power, the love, the light, the life and love of the risen Christ in and through you. They will look at you and they will see Jesus in your smile, Jesus in your eyes. They will see a person who loves Jesus. That is our witness, the public display of our love for Jesus and his love for us.
Hallelujah.
And they will see someone who enjoys, who likes being a believer, who loves his God, who enjoys his relationship with Jesus. Not somebody who's all bent over and upside down, grin, you know, the frown, that old Pharisee who has to go to church and is miserable and poor. Until we are spiritually poor, poverty of spirit, then we are rich. We have nothing on our own resources. But when God is and does it all, the world is going to see a bunch of people who love their God, who love Jesus, and will want what we have.
Amen.
You're suffering, why are you smiling? Amen. Because the more I suffer, the closer I am to Jesus.
Amen.
You're going through, don't you know? Don't you know what you're going through? Are you quite mad? No! I'm not looking at it the way you're looking at it. I've let Jesus into my life, and it's now his problem. And he hasn't got any problems, so praise the God, praise the Lord. He's in control of my life. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. And they will hear and see a real testimony, a real person, loving, worshipping a real God, saving that person. And that's what they want. Do you know it isn't your sin that's the problem? We've just, in closing, so much more that, glory to God. The sin, as bad as it is, isn't the problem. The real problem, as we looked at with the Pharisee and with the penitent man, the real problem is the cover-up. That's the problem. Some people are so good at exposing other sins but covering their own. They have what they think is discernment, and they'll get this discernment and this word of knowledge, and they'll expose their brothers left, right and centre, but they won't open up about their own sins. that will cover their own with their own works, their own self-righteousness. That's the problem. But when we're real before God and we open up and let Him in, there's the healing, there's the deliverance, there's the forgiveness and the cleansing. Don't cover up, don't let fear, don't let pride, don't let self-love and fear and or tormenting fear be a barrier to God's glory in our life. Open up, come running to Him. The Father's will is always redemptive. He paid the price on the cross. He wants to glorify, now that He's purchased you as His possession, He wants to live and take over, have complete possession. Take over. Praise God. He's the only one living in your house now. You are His house. You are His dwelling place. His palace, His temple. Praise God. He knows. He knows what we were when he took over. When He first encountered us. Let Him rip that sin out of us as we open up to Him and let Him in. Acknowledge it. And dear friends, you will find an infinitely powerful, capable, compassionate, loving, healer, deliverer, God, Lord, Saviour. And we will walk around with that anointing, with that presence, with that countenance, and He will draw them to us. Praise the living God.
Amen.
We are, now don't get me wrong, when God has done that, we are our own best evangelistic sermon, if we're walking right with the living God. We are that fragrance of life, and sadly the other thing, but that's because people are resisting. But for those who are being saved, for those who are bowing that knee, we are that savour, that fragrance of the life of Christ, their salvation. Oh, praise God, nothing to lose by bowing the knee. Friends, we're not going to end up in hell. I know I've mentioned it, but let the fear of God do its work. Because if we love the Lord, if there's anything within us that loves the God, loves the Lord, that loves God, we're not deluded, we're not deceived, only in areas. But if we love the Lord with our hearts, we will bow that knee, we will let Him into every area of our life, and we will experience His glory, His salvation, His mercy, His redemption. You see, the problem is we don't yet fully see what the real problem is. We don't yet fully see our real need. But you know, there are people who are praying in this assembly. There's Jesus praying in eternity in heaven. There's the Holy Spirit interceding within us. By the time He's finished with us, and He won't give up, we will see our real need. We will see what it is He's dealing with. God will open our eyes, and it's upon that opening of our eyes that we will bow the knee, call out to Him, let Him in, and we will experience that healing, cleansing, delivering, just that fullness of redemption. God is love. God is love. And He's fulfilled His holiness by the most indescribable act of love, taking on a body, dying in our place, and redeeming us. That perfect sacrifice. There's the good news. And all we have to do, believe. Truly believe from the heart. And that's a gift of God's grace. Jesus and John the Baptist, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yes.
There isn't time, friends. We need to be building for eternity.
Yes.
The kingdom of heaven is now. And the message, repent and believe the gospel.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Receive Him into your heart. How do you do that? Ask. The very fact of our asking is an acknowledgement of our total dependence upon God.
Yes.
Our faith will work those miracles. We're going to see those people rise up from the wheelchair. We're going to see them rise up from the gutter. We're going to see the oppressed set free.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, because of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ working in us and through us.
Yes.
But that's cost us. It's cost him. And a little bit cost us.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. It's his faith working in us and through us because we've let him in.
Amen.
Our faith is his life, love, power and presence working with us. That's our faith. Oh, thank you for your attention. God bless you, brethren. Thank you for listening. And I trust that God, praise God, will meet you at the level of your faith and answer the cry, the deepest cry of your heart. Deliverance is on its way, friends. Healing is on its way. You're going to be set free. What was a problem to you today, tomorrow morning, as you give it over to him, let him in,
hallelujah,
you'll find that healing, that deliverance.
Thank you,
Lord. God bless you.
Praise God.
Thank you tonight for this precious word. And Lord, even though you are making us desperate, yet how gentle, how loving you do it. You don't rip us and tear us apart. You don't abuse us or misuse us. It is all done gently, lovingly, mercifully. And Lord, we want to praise and thank you for this. And Lord, as you are making each one of us desperate in your presence, you will never leave us in that state. But as we just acknowledge, as we've heard tonight, and we just confess those sins, those secret sins, Father, you will raise us up to your glory. We cannot do it in ourselves. We are incapable. But Lord, we thank you, Father, that it is the life of Christ within us. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Lord, it is not us that the world wants to see. Not our good ideas, not our ministry we're trying to build. It is Christ in us that is going to touch this world. And Lord, I thank you for this. And as we, each of us, make ourselves available, and as we just wait on you for those touches, those deliverances, you are and you will be faithful. And Lord, we thank you tonight for this word. We thank you, Lord, for the healing and deliverance that is attached to this word. And I know our lives, all of us who've heard, not in the head but in the heart, will be mightily changed tonight. And we thank you for this. We thank you, Father, for being a real God to us tonight. Thank you, Father, that we have not received religion, false promises, man's ideas, but we have received it by the Spirit, your Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray you'll be with us, bless us, preserve us, and ever keep us until you return, Lord, in Jesus' name.